Welcome to all those that are with us for the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Purim, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Yud Aleph. We're all the way towards the end of this halacha, which we hope will complete today and start the next halacha. Before we begin, we dedicate the Shir today Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Leib B'Reb Yitzchok, whose yahrzeit is today on the 16th of Av. And I'd also like to dedicate it, this is a rare item, to my Eishes Chayel, my wife, Libalea Bas Sipoira, whose birthday is today. Shem Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishalais Libo Letoiva, Mitzvah Shem. Hashem should give all of us the Yeshuas on a person's birthday, their mazel shines, her mazel should shine together with all of us, Mitzvah Shem. The Shir is also dedicated for a complete refuah shleima for all those that need it, including Menachem ben Rishabasha, Akiva Michoel ben Sorahuva, Shmuel Doi ben Furma Pero, Chavaliba bas Noim Dvoira, Yehudis Ruchoma bas Chavarus, Yuspehendel bas Gitalea, Aviv Elana bas Pendel, Sarach bas Pendel, and all the Chayim. Okay. Extremely difficult to say this because we haven't missed a shir every day for weeks, months possibly. Tomorrow morning, a very close friend is making a bris for his first son, and the bris will be at 8 o'clock. So I really apologize that we will not have the shir tomorrow, Erev Shabbos. Looking forward to continuing on Sunday, and we'll try to make up for it. We'll try to talk more quickly today to have a double shir today. Okay. V'ze b'chinas matonos levyonim shenoisnim b'purim. Rav Nosson Zalz is explaining the whole concept of Purim based on chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, connecting all the pieces. And he says, based on what Rabbi Nachman says there, we can understand the significance of the special tzedakah, the special charity that we give on Purim, matonos levyonim. Because tzedakah, giving charity, is one of the major items that corrects anything wrong in mishpat, in judgment. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, mishpat utzedakah beYaakov atosisa. Hashem, you have established mishpat, justice, and tzedakah, and charity in Yaakov. So these two go together. And as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in another chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 2 in the first part of Likutei Moran, tzedakah hu bechinas mishpat. There Rabbeinu Zal shows how tzedakah is a form of mishpat, a form of judgment. How is it? Bechinas, based on a pasuk, ki elokim shofet ze yashpil v'ze yorim. The pasuk says, Hashem judges, and in judging, Hashem decides whom to lower and whom to elevate. When two litigants come before a judge, and there's a disagreement about something, about money or anything, the judge decides, you have to pay him so much and so much money. So one person is getting richer, one person is getting poorer. That's mishpat. Rabbeinu Zal says there, when a person performs the mitzvah of tzedakah, there's the donor and the receiver. And it's a case of Zeh Yashpil. The donor is lowering himself. He's lessening his funds. And Vezeh Yorim, he's elevating the poor person, making him richer. So that's an actual form of mishpat. The context in which Rabbeinu Zal refers to it over there in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, he talks about tefillah being a sword, like a sword. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Roimamois Kael Bigroimam, V'cheref Pifiois Biyodam. They praise Hashem with their throats, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Tefillah is a double-edged sword. It has two parts to it, praise of Hashem, and then making your requests. But Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person has a sword, just because you have a sword doesn't mean you're going to win the battle. With a sword, you have to know where to strike to strike the heart. A person can slash somebody in 10 different places, and the other person can go ahead and kill the one with the sword because you didn't strike him in the right place, in the heart, the bullseye, the target, to hit the target. So Rabbi Nizal says it's important to center the sword, to make sure that your tefillah is centered. And Rabbi Nizal says the way you do that is through mishpat, which is tzedakah. Because again, mishpat is we're lowering one person and raising another person. So we're moving towards the center. We're moving towards a middle. We're making a compromise, in a sense, between the wealthy person and the poor person. That's called centering. That's mishpat. Ze yashpil v'zeyorim. And that's why Rabbi Nizal says, the Gemara says, that first you give tzedakah, then you're mispalel. Because the tzedakah is the mishpat that empowers the tefillah, that centers the tefillah. So we see that tzedakah is synonymous with mishpat. Ayin Shem, look over there in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran. V'alkein rotza Haman lekalkel hatzedakah shel Yisrael. And this is why Haman wanted to damage the charity of the Jewish people. V'rotza lishkoil aseres alofim kikar kesef. And he was prepared to put out, to donate 10,000 silver pieces Keneged Hashkolim Shel Yisrael, to oppose the charity of Kal Yisrael, the Machtzis HaShekel that we give during the month of Adar. Kamo Yisham Rabbi Senesal, as the Gemara says, Ki Kol Machshavtoi Horo Hoyo Lahadbir Chas V'Shon Pegam HaMishpot Kanal. Because the focus of Haman HaRosha was to destroy, to damage the Mishpot, and to build on that. As we had explained in the previous two shiurim, the mistake of Shaul HaMelech and other mistakes which were Pegam HaMishpat. V'alkein, and therefore, Kishezochu Lenatzchoi, when Mordechai and Esther and the Jewish people succeeded in defeating Haman, Ula HaPiloi, and to bring about his downfall, Tiknu Matonois Levyoinim. They established a special mitzvah on Purim, of distributing gifts to the poor people, hainu tzedakah, charity, shehu bechinas tikun hamishpat. Tzedakah is a form of tikun hamishpat. V'alkein, and now Rav Nosson Zaleid's V'alkein tzedakah hu tikun habris kamuva. And this is why it's brought also that tzedakah is an aspect, is related to tikun habris. Rabbi Nizal brings in Likutei Moran, mentions this in another chapter, where he speaks about the donations that the Jews brought to the Mishkan when the Mishkan was first being built. And it says there, Vayavoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. The men came in addition to the women to contribute gold and silver and everything to the Mishkan. The wording there, though, is extremely unusual. Vayavoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. That terminology is used when men have relations with women. Vayavoyu, so Rav Nosson Zal writes there, this is a remez that tzedakah is an aspect of tikkun habris, this holy union between man and woman. There are other places in the Likutei Moran also where Rav Nosson shows the connection between tzedakah and tikkun habris. Ki tikkun hamishpat hu tikkun habris kanal. Because as we discussed earlier in this halacha, tikkun hamishpat, the concept of justice and things being put in their proper place is also an aspect of tikkun habris. We know that chilul habris is chas v'shalom when a person places the seed in the wrong place. Chas v'shalom, a non-Jewish woman, chas v'shalom, all the different sins of pegam habris. And mishpat is a concept of everything being put in its proper place, justice, setting things right. V'oz nishpa hashefa el malchus tikdusha. And when there's tikkun habris, and when there's tikkun hamishpat, Rabbi Nizal shows over there in Likutei Moran, then the shefa, the bounty, flows into the malchus, into the holy kingdom. Shezer b'chinas shmini atzeres. And that's what's taking place on the holiday of shmini atzeres simchas Torah, kimavur b'maymer hanal. As Rabbi Nizal explains over there in chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, that's the conclusion, the climax, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. After all of that, we have the grand finale being Shmini Atzeres, when the Malchus is really completed. Shezel Biatzmoy Bechinas Tztaka. And that's what Tztaka is really all about. Shemashpiim La'oni Ve'evyoin. We are giving Shefa, we're giving sustenance to someone who is poor. Shehu Bechinas Nukva. That's associated with the female. The female, according to Kabbalah, is always the receiver. The man is the mashpia, the woman is the mekabel. Bechinas malchus digdusha. She represents, the nukva represents the holy kingdom, delesla migarma klum, which has nothing of its own. It has to receive from others. The malchus receives from all the other spheros. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk, kol hanecholim hoilchim el hayam. All streams feed into the ocean, into the sea. El Hayam makes up the word Elokim. And Elokim is one of the names of Hashem for Malchus, Velokim Malki Mikedem. Hashem is my king from way, way back. So when we say all streams feed into the Malchus, it means all of the Sphirois, all the Midos of Hashem feed into the Malchus. The Malchus is the receiver. And again, the Malchus on its own has nothing. It receives from all the other ones. And again, that's completed on Shmini Atzeres. Sheze Iker Tikkun HaBris. And this is the Shleimus of Tikkun HaBris, when there is this union between Zohar and Nekeva. And when the Zohar is being Mashpia perfectly, properly to the Nekeva of Kedusha. Paragraph Yudbeis. Vize bechinas oimer sa'oirim. And this is tied in also to the topic of the oimer of barley that was brought on the second day of Pesach. Tes Zayin Nisan. Today is Tes Zayin Menachemov. And the Gemara says in Megillah that when Haman came to Mordechai, He looked to see what are they studying, and he saw they were studying the topic of the Oimer, the Korban Oimer. And he said, your Oimer is coming along and negating all of my wealth and power. Rav Nosson, now in this paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal just puts out bullets. He doesn't really explain, he doesn't really show the connections, he's sort of assuming that you'll be able to make the connections. He continues, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Vesimcha Vesasoin Vikar. The famous pasuk in the Megillah Esther, when Haman was defeated, it says that the Jews celebrated. They had light and joy and happiness, Vikar. And the Gemara says, Vikar Elu Tfilin. That refers to the mitzvah of Tfilin, which we spoke about previously in this Torah, the Moichin, the Tfilin. Vezeh Bechinas Mikra Megillah. And this is what reading the Megillah is all about. Kimu v'kiblu. It says in the Megillah that the Jews established the holiday of Purim. So the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu means that the Jews had originally received the Torah on Har Sinai, but there they had received it from fear. They received it again. We renewed our acceptance of the Torah on Purim, on the holiday of Purim. Kimu mashekiblu kvar hodor kiblu abimei Achashverosh. The Jews received the Torah again anew during the time of Achashverosh. Now Rav Nosson Zal quotes the pasuk loy nitna Torah elo loichle hamon. I believe that's what he's referring to here. That the Gemara says the Torah was given only to those who eat mon, and we spoke about mon previously in the Torah. When Rav Nosson Zal explained why we use the term Mishloyach Monois Ish L'Reyehu, he said that these gifts are an aspect of Achila Dikdusha, like the Mon. Now Rav Nosson Zal quotes another pasuk, where it says, during the battle of Amalek, when Moshe Rabbeinu was battling Amalek, it says there, K'soiv Zois Zikoroim Basefer, write this down in a document. And then later on it says, Shom Sam Loi Choyku Mishpat Vesham Nisohu, that in a certain place Hashem established law and justice, Mishpat, And there the Jews were tested. Hainu, where was that? Al Hamayim. That was when the Jews complained that they traveled for 3 days, they didn't have water, and then finally Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, take this stick and throw it into the water, and it'll make the bitter water sweet. Hainu al Hamayim, this refers to water. Shehi bechinas mishpat. Water is associated with mishpat. Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran quotes a pasuk, Vayimad kamayim mishpat, something like that, where the pasuk puts together mayim and mishpat. Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh. We have the pasuk that we read in the Haftorah several weeks ago, where it says that the city Tzion, Yerushalayim, will be redeemed through mishpat. And when the Torah speaks about Moshiach, it says v'shofat b'tzedek dalim. He will judge with righteousness all the poor people. Again, Moshiach is the concept of tikkun hamishpat. And it says in Megillas Esther, Vimei haPurim lo yavru. These days of Purim will not leave the Jewish people. They're going to be with us throughout our history. V'al kein koru layomim ho'ele Purim al shem haPur. And it says also in the Megillah that because of this lottery that Haman made, that's why these days, this day is called Purim. A person would say, without the Likutei Halachos that we learned, a person would say, big deal. See, draw out of all the names to give to a holiday, Purim, lottery, there were other things that went on. The riding on the horse, why don't we call it Susya? Why don't, you know, there are a billion words in the Megillah. Why choose this word Purim? Why is the poor so significant? If you recall, in yesterday's shir and the shir before, Rav Nosson Zal elaborated incredibly, explaining how everything is the poor. Everything was this mishpat, this goyro, this lottery. Everything was tied into that. The goyro of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur versus the goyro that Haman tried to tip in his favor through Pegam HaMishpat. Ki zeh ikar toikef hanes. Because this is the real essence and the real power of the miracle of Purim, shenistakein hamishpat, that proper justice was established. There was injustice that was done during the time of Shaul HaMelech when he was supposed to destroy Amalek, and it was rectified now on Purim. On Purim, there was Pegam HaMishpat in the Jews eating from the Suda of Achashverosh and worshipping idols. Rav Nosson Zal showed us many different aspects of Pegam HaMishpat, and Purim is when all of this was corrected. Shehu Bechinas Tikkun HaGoyrol, and that's the tikkun of this lottery that's drawn. V'zeh bechinas chayev odom lebesumei bepuria adolayoda beinor homon aborach Mordechai. And with this also we understand what the Gemara says, that a Jew is supposed to imbibe, drink wine and intoxicating beverages on Purim to the point where you cannot distinguish between Oror Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And we explained previously in the halacha that what this means is that when the mishpat is really rectified, then the part of the klipa that has to be pushed away is pushed away. And the holiness, this little bit of holiness, the spark of kedusha that was in the klipa is rescued and brought back into the kedusha. And that's the real tikkun hamishpat. That's the shleimus of the tikkun hamishpat. If you look back at Rav Nosson Zal in this last paragraph, touched on many of the points that were mentioned during the halacha. Could be these are notes that Rav Nosson Zal wrote down for himself in some way. It's not really made clear, but it's included here as the final paragraph of this halacha. Any questions, please? Okay, we begin the next halacha. Very, very special. Someone has a question, please, just a moment. Oh, the question was raised, what's the connection between being drunk and mishpat? The answer is, Rav Nosson Zal had spoken about this previously. I can't see at this moment. However, we mentioned that Tikkun HaMishpat requires sorting out right from wrong, being able to sort out right from wrong. And there's a certain aspect of the wrong that has to be eliminated completely, destroyed completely. And once that's done, everything, and Rav Nosson Zal had explained that down in this world, there's toiv and ra, there's good and bad. But where they originate from, where this toiv and ra originate from, there's only oneness. It's all one, really one. Even the ra is rooted in bina. It's rooted in the left side of kedusha, which is rooted all the way up. Chachma and bina are rooted in the keser. We spoke about yesh, lahan chiloya vayesh. So that when we're saying a person does know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Aruch Haman, what do you mean you don't know the difference? Aruch Haman is bad and Baruch Mordechai is good. It's two different things completely. But on Purim, we're tapping into this very high place, this place of Tikkun HaMishpat, this highest place, where there is this oneness. There it's all one. We spoke about the dreams, good dreams and bad dreams, dreams that come from a malach, dreams that come from a shed. And we said again, but up on top, it's all really one. We had in a previous halacha where we spoke about Paro's dream. He saw seven good years, seven bad years, but Yosef HaTzadik said in the end, Chaloim Paroi Echodhu, that it's really all coming from a place of oneness. And the Arizal explains that for us, when we say a person doesn't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, we're saying that the person could chas v'shalom get confused and say Baruch Haman, Baruch Haman. And therefore, now, if a person were to say that when they're rational, when they're thinking clearly, that would be a terrible aveira, a terrible pegam to bless Haman. But in a state of drunkenness, when a person's mind is not clear, and a person then chas v'shalom would accidentally say Baruch Haman, again, on this unbelievable holy day of Purim, where we're connecting to this highest place, There it's possible it would be allowed to say it, you know, because we're blessing that spark of Kedusha. Like we mentioned, the Gemara had said that from the descendants of Haman came forth rabbis who taught Torah to Bnei Israel in Bnei Brak. Yeah, we spoke about the in paragraph Vav in this halacha that we had previously. Rav Nosson Zal said that on Purim we're going all the way up to the place of Zikaron, to the upper Goyro, where there it's all good, there's no bad at all. And there he mentioned this Chayiv Inish Lemesumi Bepuria. Any other questions, please? Okay. This next halacha is based on chapter 33 in Likutei Moran, a fantastic Torah where Rabbeinu Zal explains some very deep concepts. Let's begin. V'haklal, to sum up, so Rav Nosson Zal says, Al pi amaymar mi hoish hechofetz chayim, oyhev yomim lirois toiv. B'simen lamed gimel, ayin shom heitev. Study that chapter well. V'haklal, to summarize what Rabbeinu Zal says there, ki meloi chol ha'oretz kivoidoi, Hashem's light and Hashem's honor fills the entire world. V'ihu memalei kol almin, v'soivev kol almin. Hashem fills all the worlds, he's inside of all the worlds, and he encircles all the worlds. V'leis asar poniminei, there is no location in the world that's void of Hashem, where Hashem is not present there. This is the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh. Vafilu be'imkei haklipois yecholin limtzo es Hashem yizborach. Even in the deepest depths of tuma, of evil, of impurity, of klipa, a person can find Hashem there also. Umi shekoyfe es yitzroi, a person who becomes a tzaddik, he succeeds in neutralizing, in defeating, and controlling his yetzer hara, his evil inclination, completely. Azai then, kishemedaber im goyim, when such a person speaks to non-Jews, oiroya masehem, or he sees their actions, their creations, their whatever they've done. And we know that the goyim have a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad there. And in the things that they've built and everything, there's a lot of bad there. When a tzaddik who has succeeded in defeating the bad inside of himself, when he encounters a goy, or when he encounters goyish things, azai hora noifel venezbatel kenegdoi, then the evil, the negativity, falls away when it encounters the tzaddik. And there is revealed that good that was found in there by the goy, by the goyim, in their places. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal explains this. Rabbeinu Zal brings a proof from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, we know that there's Loshon Kodesh, the language of the Jewish people, the language with which Hashem created the world, was Loshon Kodesh. And then there's the languages of the other nations. And on Yom Tov, on holidays, we say, Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amin, you Hashem have chosen us from among all the nations. O haftoi sonu, you loved us. V'rotzi sabonu, you want us. V'roimamtonu mikol ha'lishoinos, you elevated us above all the other languages. Our language is holy, and their languages aren't. And yet, Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moharan, the Gemara says that we have the word litoitofois. When it speaks about the mitzvah of tefillin, it says, v'hoyu litoitofois bein einecha. The Gemara asks, what is toitofois? There's no such Hebrew word. The Gemara says, you're right. It comes from two other languages. The Gemara says, tat, in African, means two, and pat in a different language means two. So the word toitofois is 2 plus 2, referring to the four parshias of the tefillin and the four batim. So Rabbeinu Zal says, look, we see that there's holiness even in the languages of the goyim. And Rabbeinu Zal gives other proofs. He elaborates on it beautifully in that Torah, showing us this concept that even in the tumah, even by the sitra achra, there's a kedusha there's a toiv there. And it's not just an ordinary toiv, because Hashem wouldn't send an ordinary toiv in there. He sends, just like Lahavdil, when an army wants to send soldiers behind enemy lines to infiltrate there, to go there and bring about, they don't send regular guys, they send paratroopers, commandos, an elite unit that can be trusted, that can go even behind enemy lines, and over there, be able to succeed in bringing down the enemy from within, in a sense. Here also, Rabbeinu Zal reveals that the Kiddusha that's found in the Sitra Achra is usually the highest type of Kiddusha. However, it's on a very low flame, because Hashem doesn't want the Sitra Achra to be benefiting from a billion volts. So therefore, even though that light, that generator, is a billion volts, Hashem sets it to 6 volts or 4 volts, just enough that's needed to allow the sitra achra, the klipos, to exist. Hashem wants them to exist, but again, there's this very high level kedusha there, but it's on a very low flame, in order that the sitra achra shouldn't be drawing more than it's supposed to, and Chas Shalom be able to empower them. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moharan where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. And then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say over there that the tzaddik, who again has defeated his own ra, and therefore when he engages any ra, the ra falls away, and the toiv that was hidden underneath it is uncovered and revealed. Rabbeinu Zal says there that through this, through this process, the tzaddik is zoicha to a very high level called ahava shebedas. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there, ki yesh shnei minei ahavos. There are two levels of ahava. Yesh ahava shehu beyomim. There's the lower level ahava, which is an ahava that's associated with the seven lower spheros. It's called ahava shebeyomim, like the 7 days of creation. And what ahava is that? Bechinas chesed, the sphere of chesed, which is the top one of the seven lower midos. That's Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Sunday is chesed. And the Zohar Kodesh refers to chesed as Yoima Do'ozil Im Kul HaYoimin. Chesed is a day which goes with all the other days. It's found in all, its light continues to flow downward into Gevura, Tiferes, into all the other days. The Zohar Kodesh quotes the pasuk, Yoimam Yitzava Hashem Chazdoi. Yoimam is plural. Yoimam, several days, Hashem commands his chesed. Because the chesed is a midah that flows, that's connected to all the other midahs. That's a lower level ahava. Ve'yesh ahava shilamala mi'ayomim. There's a higher level ahava, which is above those seven lower spheros, above the days, lemala mehamidos. It's above measurements, constrictions. Vehi ahava shebedas. That's called ahava shebedas. Vehi bechinas oiraiso da'atiko stimo da'asido lezgalila sedlovoi. This is related to the highest level hidden Torah that's going to be revealed in the future when Mashiach comes. V'chol odom yochol litoim tam oir ho'ava shebedas. Rabbeinu Zal shows the Likut Imran that every single person has the ability to taste this oir avo shebedas. How? Al yedei shemekasher liboy ledaitoy. By connecting your heart to your brain, making that connection between leiv and moyach. We say in Aleinu, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoiso elevavecho ki Hashem olekim. You'll understand in your head and you will convey to your heart, you'll communicate to your heart that Hashem is in charge. Because there are many people who in their brain, they know what the right thing to do is. They know they shouldn't be eating that third chocolate bar or that third ice cream. But then when it's in front of them and it smells and it's free, and how could I not eat it? Because the heart, where the emotions are, where the desires are, the chemda, the heart doesn't allow itself to be completely subservient to the brain. But Rabbeinu Zal says, a person who's mekasher liboy ledatoy, he ties these two together, where the heart will not do anything on its own. The heart will only be subservient to the brain in decision-making. And in addition, in tefillah, making that connection between the brain and the heart and the mouth, through that a person is zoicha to be able to taste this oil avo shebedas. Ayin shom kol zeh heitev. Study this over there in chapter 33 on Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this very clearly. Gam, in addition, ayin maimar shel va'aye hasel oila. Study chapter 12 in the second half of Likutei Moran. The famous chapter, Ayeh Mekon Kevoidoi, Ayin Shom Heite, because these two chapters are dealing with a very similar concept. The concept of Kedusha and the highest level of Kedusha, which is hidden in places of the Sitra Achra sometimes. Question?
How do we define in English this term
of How do we translate into English Ahava Shebeyomim and Ahava Shebedas? The answer is, unfortunately, as far as I know, the English language and all secular languages aren't fully equipped. You would need maybe 10 different words to refer to it. But we're talking about two different levels of ahava. I'll try to clarify a little more what Rabbeinu Zal says there in Likutei Moran. He gives an example. Ahava shebeyomim is a finite ahava. And it's an ahava that's based on matter, on physical matter, in a sense. I like food. I like a person. I like this person. I like the way they look. I like their look. I like their voice. I like their this. It's based on something that's within boundaries. Ava Shebedas is something that's above and beyond boundaries. And Rabbeinu Zal gives an example. He says, he uses as an example of Ava Shebedas, the love. We know that a parent has children. They love their children. After the children are born, they love their children. But Rabbeinu Zal says, we know that the child originates from the brain of the father. The seed, which ends up creating a child, comes from the brain of the father. Rabbeinu Zal says, the Ava Shebedas is the love that the father had for this child in his brain, in the father's brain, before the child was conceived even, before the child came into physical existence. That's this Oyer Avo Shebedas. In other words, again, it's a love that's above and beyond anything physical. It's totally a spiritual thing, and it's not within any physical boundaries at all. That's one of the examples that Rabbeinu Zal gives in that chapter in the Keturah of the Avo Shebedas, the love that the father has for his son, for his child, before the child is born, when the child is still only in conception, in the mind. But on our level, for our knowledge, we're talking about, again, an ahava that could be measured in the tens units, and an ahava that could be measured in the trillions units. You know, like a completely different league of ahava, of love. Vehine, now Rav Nosson Zal begins. Vehine ha-Torah hizhiroi sonu sheloi leilech b'chukoi soivdei kochovim. Our Torah has instructed us and warned us not to follow the culture and the ways of the non-Jews. Ule hisrachek mehem b'tachlis horichuk, to distance ourselves as much as we possibly can from that. V'sheloi lehizdamais lohem, not to want to be similar, not to want to be like them. We don't want to dress like them. We don't want to talk like them. We don't want to act like them. We don't want to eat like them. We want to be different than them completely in all aspects of culture and behavior. U'kemevur b'yoredeya b'hilchas chukai soivdei kechovim ayin shom, as is explained in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, where it speaks about these laws, about how Jews, the Torah says about us, Hein am levodod yishkoin uvagoyim lo yischashu. We are a nation that stands alone. We are not included among the other nations. We don't want to be like them in all aspects, in all the aspects of them that are not, that don't conform completely to the Torah, to the path that Hashem has defined as the right path. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains, listen very carefully. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, afal pi shebe'emes la'amitoi yecholin limtsoi lekusi yisborach afilu b'lashoyin esedek rovim, even though the real truth is that we can find Hashem even in the languages of the Goyim. Ki ihu mechaya eskulam, because Hashem is the battery. Hashem is the source of life for everything and everyone in this world, including the Goyim. Ukimavur heite b'maimer anal, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates and explains very thoroughly over there in chapter 33 in the Likutei Moran. But so you would say, so what's the difference? What's the difference if I live in a Jewish neighborhood or a Goyish neighborhood? What's the difference if I dress like a Jew? Hashem is everywhere. Everybody admits Hashem is everywhere, so he's by the Jews. Hashem is not by the Goyim, he is by the Goyim. So what's the difference? Afal pikein osur lichnois lashon. Even though that's true, we are forbidden to enter into there. You know why? Ki yuchal lehitofes shon, because we could get trapped there. Machmas ribui haklipois, because of the many, many forces of tumah that are operating there. Shehem rabim alatoiv, which are much, much more in quantity than the good that's there. V'hatoiv mis'alim shom betachris ha'helem. The good that's there, the good that's by the goyim, is hidden like you could never imagine how many coverings on top of coverings, layers and layers of coverings it has over it. Al kein, therefore, yuchal litofes b'neim chasashon. If a Jew goes into the domain of the goyim, into their culture, into their places, a Jew can get trapped there, chas v'shalom. The ikar azhara, hisiroisanu atoira, shaloi leches b'chukoseim daika. And the main warning that the Torah emphasizes when it speaks about not following the ways of the goyim, it uses the term chukoseim. Chukoseim, a choik, is something that's not logical, that's not rational. Certain things that they do that are superstitions or things that we do that, again, that are not based on logic and rationale. Kama Shekosev, as it says clearly in the Chumash, Bechukoseim loy seilechu, do not follow their chukim. Why the emphasis on that? Ki ezel umazel osel ekim. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this now beautifully. Because Hashem has created this opposite this, Kedusha, and the Sitra Achra opposite it. Ukemoy shebikdusha yeshne minei ahavos, and just like within the framework of holiness, there are these two types of ahava, these two levels of ahava, ahava shebiyomim, the lower level, which we said is called ahava shebiyomim. V'shom yesh bechinas yemei toiv yemei ra, kimavur b'amaral, and Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran that when we're dealing with that lower level ahava, when we're dealing with the ahava shebiyomim, there's good and bad, there's right and left. Because Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk in Koheles where the pasuk says clearly, b'yoyim toiv yehei toiv. I'm not quoting the pasuk literally, but that's basically what the pasuk says. On a good day, be good, and on a bad day, look, search. Why search? Because if you search, you'll be able to find the good even within the bad, but it takes a searching. So we see that in yomim, there's yemei toiv and yemei ra. But v'yesh ava shebedas, but there's something called ava shebedas, Lemala mehamoyach umehamidois, which is above the midois and above the moyach. We're going into keser, we're going into that place. Vishom hu bechinas kuloi toiv. There it's wall to wall good, it's only good. Kihu bechinas oivaiso datikos timo dasidos galas lovoi. This is that ancient holy Torah that's going to be revealed in the future. Shehu bechinas kuloi toiv. Where there's only good. V'shom hu lemala mehamidois, lemala me'asechel. There it's above chesed and gvura, right and left. There's no such thing as right and left. It's above sechel even. It's above chochmen bina. Ki yefshel lonu lahasig b'sichleinu oirav azoy shebedas. Because we cannot possibly, with our human intellect, understand this oirav shebedas. So in Kedusha, there's these two avos, right? Kemoikein ezel umazeh b'sitra achra yeshnei b'chinois. So too, within the domain of the sitra achra, there are also these two aspects. Yesh b'chinas klipois v'sitra achra shein b'chinas yomim. There is an aspect of the sitra achra, of tum, of klipa, which is related to yomim. Bechinas yemei ra, as it says, bad days, v'heim keneged yemei toiv, and that's opposite the good days. V'shom yesh kama mitzoitzois mehayomim v'hamidois shen noflu kiyadua. And there, within the bad days, there are holy sparks. There are sparks from the good days and from the good midois that have fallen into the domain of the sitra achra. However, v'yesh oid bechinas sitra achra, there's another aspect of the sitra achra, shehu kuloi ra, which is wall-to-wall evil. It's completely bad. V'ein shom shum toiv. There is no good there whatsoever. V'ein shom shum das klal. There is no das, no holy seichel there. Hainu, shehem ksilus vera gomor. It's complete foolishness, silliness, total evil. Ve'ein shom shum toy v'shum seichel v'shum nitzutz shel kedusha. There is no good, no intellect, no spark of holiness. V'al kein kol ma'aseyem heim b'li shum seichel v'tam afilu shel tos. And therefore, when we go into that area, the things they're doing have no rationale at all. You get no logic to it, why they do this, certain things that they do, and it's not even a mistaken rationale. It's not even a wrong type. It's no rationale. It doesn't make any sense. It has no sense or logic to it. Ki bebechinas haklipo shel hayomim v'amidois yechoyle nimtzoi shom kamenei tzutzei tzedusha. Because within that other level, within the klipa of days and midos, there, if you search, you'll be able to find holy sparks. V'al kein yeshom eze tam ve'inyan. And therefore, there is some logic there. There is some reasoning as to why they do those things. Afal pishu betos. Even though their logic and their reasoning is mistaken, but there's some rationale, some logic to it. Kihein mehapchim divrei elikim chayim, because they turn around, they twist the words of the living Hashem, machmas ribo yora, because of all of their evil, because all of their midois rois and taivis rois. But afal pikein, despite that, al kol ponim, regardless, yeshom eze tam shel tos v'sheker. There is some reasoning there, there is some logic there, even though it's false. It's wrong, and it can be proven wrong by the true tzaddik and by people who are really knowledgeable. Avul bebechinas haklipa hashniya. But when we're dealing with that second klipa, shom ein shum nitzus, there is no spark of holiness. Ve'ein shom shum tam, there is no reasoning, there's no logic whatsoever. Ki ein shom shum seichel v'shum nitzus. Vehu shoyresh hasitrachra vaklipa. That's the source of the sitrachra and all klipa. Ki kol hasitrachra mekabla misham. Because all forms and versions of sitrachra receive from the top, from that highest place. Veze bechinas chukas ho'amim. And that's what the Torah refers to as the chukos of the goyim. Ki chuka hu dovor she'ein boi tam. A choik is something which has no rationale, no logical explanation to it. Ubigdusha and lahavdil, within the framework of holiness, chukos ha-Torah kedusha hu bechinas lemala mehasechel. The chukim of the Torah, you know why they're not rational and logical? Because they're way above all rationale and all logic. It's logic and rationale are coming from Chochm and Bina. That's the ground floor. These, the Chukim of the Torah, Pora Aduma, is way above that. We know that Shloimei HaMelech said, Omarti Echkema, I said, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to become a Chochm. Which Chochm? The biggest Chochm that ever lived. Vehi Rechoika Mimeni. But I see that it's very far from me. I see that I have a long way to go. I remember hearing from Rav Rosenfeld the words Vehi Rechoika are bigematria Pora Aduma. Pora Aduma is the classic case of a choik, something which has no rationale to it. It's called in Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas is where we have the laws of Pora Aduma. So again, the chukim of the Torah HaKdosha, we don't understand them because they're so far above what our rationale and thinking is capable of understanding. This is an example of the Ava Shebedas sheyizgal el osid, which will be revealed in the future. Kegoin mitzvas Pora Aduma. For example, the mitzvah of Pora Aduma, shenemar bo chukas ha-Torah shelo yizgal ze hasoid ad l'osid, whereby the secret of Pora Aduma will only be revealed in the future. Vafilu shloimo yolav ha-shalom omar Omarti echkema vehi rechoika al mitzvah zu. Shlomo HaMelech said those words about this mitzvah. Kemoikein beklipa chukos ha'amim Hu bechinas haklipa hashnina. So too, within the arena of the goyim, within the arena of the sitra achra, there also in klipa, that's shehu lemata mehayomim vamidos. Their chukim are below the yomim and midos. She'ein shom shum tam klal, where there's no logic and no reasoning to that. V'alkein nikron chukah, that's why it's called chukah. U'kemoi shon urayim, and Rav Nosson Zal says, as we see, if you'll study their chukim, she'chukoseyim hem b'li shum tam klal, that it has no logical explanation to it. Ki hein bebechina zu, because they are in this category. V'ze bechinas avodah zarah shelahem, and this is the concept of all of their idols, shehem shtus nigla umeforsan. It's an obvious silliness, foolishness. Ve'elohem shum tamal zeh. They have no rational, logical way to explain it. V'afal pikein hem adukim bo. And despite that, they're holding on to it tightly. Ki zeh bechinas haklipo hashnia. Because this is that second klipa. Shehu kuloi ra, ve'en sham shum sechel, ve'shum nitzis dikdusha kanal. V'kamuva b'ksovim, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal, shu'avoyde zora, ein bo shum nitzis dikdusha. That avoyde zora, an idol, has no spark of holiness in it. V'hu b'chinas tsoyo mamish. It's literally like excrement. Shehu moisrois gomor, which is complete waste matter, she'ein boi shum toiv, it has no good to it. Bechinas tsei toimaloi. As the Pasuk says, Hashem says to the Jews, tell the idols, get out of here. Tsei toimaloi. Why? Because they are tsei, they are tsoya. It's excrement. It's complete waste. Vezeh bechinas, and this is what the Pasuk says, ki kol elokei ho'amim elilim. All of the gods of the other nations are elilim. Rav Nosson Zal says, elilim daika. Why is that word elilim used? Ki elil l'shoin dovor she'enoi. Elil means something that isn't, something that is not. Kama Shapirosh Rashi, as Rashi defines it. Ki heim elil gomor she'en sham shum toiv. What do you mean it's not? What do you mean? I see it is. It's, look at it. It's nothing. It is nothing, meaning it has no good. Something that's complete bad doesn't count. It doesn't register on the register. It's a zero. V'alkein ein shom shum tam v'sechel. And therefore, there's no logical rationale there. V'alkein nikroim chukas oivdei kochovim. That's why it's called chukas. U'mi shemeschaber im oivdei kochovim. And a person who chas v'sholom assimilates or attaches themselves to these non-Jews, umizdam Elohem chashon, and emulates them. He dresses like them, he cuts his hair like them, he talks like them. Yochol litofes berishtam, that person can get ensnared in their trap, ad sheyenitpas chashon bebechinas haklipa shnia, to the point where that person could become trapped in that second klipa, shehu b'chinas chukah yisoy v'kechovim, shehu kuloy ra chas v'shom. U'kishenoyfe l'shom chas v'shom, and when a person falls into that second klipa, that chukah yisagoyim, azay ein soymech b'yodoy chas v'shom. Then there is nothing to support that person's, there's nothing to hold on to chas v'shom. Me'achar, there's nothing to grab onto, there's no life raft. Since there is no spark of holiness there, the alkein his hero son wa Torah lifroish midarkeim ulitzrachik mehem, and that's why the Torah warns a Jew to stay away. Do not copy their ways. Don't copy their culture, their music, their arts, everything. Ulitzrachik mehem, and distance yourself from them. V'hakol osur mishum chukah yisoy v'kechovim. And it all goes under this umbrella term of chukah yisoy v'kechovim. Why? Haynu kedei shlo yeh nitpas chas v'shalom bebechinas haklipo hashnia. Because the real threat, the real disaster is, chas v'shalom, when the person goes there and they get caught in that second klipa. Shi bechinas chukah yisoy v'kechovim. She'ech, where the person loses all logic and rationale. Sheshom ein shum toy. There is no good chas v'shom. Umi shenoyfe l'shom chas v'shom. A person who falls into there, kosheloi lotzeis mishom. It's very difficult for the person to get out of there. Ki ein soymech biyodoi. There's nothing to grab onto. Me'achar she'ein shom shum nitzutz v'shum toiv klal. Because of the fact that there is no good, no spark of good, no good at all whatsoever. Any questions, please?
Rav Nosna, we're talking about the klippas that can be redeemed. There are the klippas noga, and everything else is the eish miklachas and all the other things.
The answer is probably. Probably that's an example of what he's referring to. We'll see more as he explains the halacha. But this is a concept that comes up. There are many variations of this. If you recall, for example, in chapter 64 in Likut Imran and other 49, Rabbeinu Zalveh speaks about creation. That during the time of creation, there were two major steps that took place. There was Cholol Haponui, Kaviyochel, where Hashem had to vacate a certain space. Hashem had to remove himself, Kaviyochel, to make room for creation. It's called a vacant space. That's one issue. And then when Hashem made the decision to try to pour his light into vessels, the vessels couldn't contain that light. They burst. And there was a whole explosion and broken glass, broken vessels all over the place that are mixed with broken vessels and light. And there also, Rabbeinu Zal explains this concept, that there are different philosophical questions that people ask. The philosophical questions that come from Shviras HaKelim, he says there are questions that come from A and from B. The questions that come from the aspect of Shviras HaKelim, those questions can be answered. About those questions, the Mishnah says, Veda ma shetoshuv l'apikoiris. Know how to respond to an apikoiris. But the questions that come from Cholol Haponui, the questions that are coming there, not allowed to go, don't go near there. Don't go near there. Because again, Kaviyochel, it's as if Hashem vacated that place. It's as if there's no, even though Rabbeinu Zal says, there's no, it's impossible. If Hashem vacated someplace completely, it can't exist. So we don't understand this. That's the bottom line. We cannot understand this. But we know that there are these two levels. There's Cholol Haponui, there's Shviras HaKelim. There's Avo Shebedas, there's Avo Shebeyomim. There's things that Rishoim do that have some logic to it. It's a mistaken logic, but there's some aspect of Das there that can be corrected. And then there's the things that have no rationale to them all. There's their Chukim, where there you're going into that place of Cholol Haponui, there you're going into that place that you're not allowed to go into. It's too dangerous, you know. And again, possibly this is related also to what's written about the klipos, the actual klipos, that there are three klipos which need to be removed, pushed aside. There's the klipas noiga, which is toivara. There we have the ability, a tzaddik, a person involved in very, very holy activity, can split apart the good from the bad of noiga. And the good can be integrated into the Kedusha and complete the Kedusha, and the Ra pushed aside.
Those of us who work with non-Jews, advising, facilitating, and if we're not at a level of tzaddik, how do we interact and know what's the etzah here in terms
excellent,
of
working with? Excellent question. Excellent question. The answer is several. The answer is hold on real tightly to a tzaddik. If you are not the tzaddik, then you are definitely at major risk. However, if you are deeply and solidly attached to a tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Moran in chapter 8 and other places that the tzaddik and those who are attached to him, they can engage the Sitra Achra and defeat the Sitra and not be sucked in and not be damaged by the forces of the Sitra Achra. So it's extremely important, especially for those Jews that have to have contact with Goyim, etc., to really try our best to be deeply attached, to hold on tight to the Tzaddik, and obviously to the Torah and Hashem. All three of those things are one. We mentioned it in the previous year, and it's one of the most famous statements in the Zohar HaKadosh. Kutshibrichu v'oiraisa v'yisroel chadhu. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. So a person has to grab on to the Torah and grab on to the tzaddikim, and then they stand a chance. Then a person has a chance of not being harmed by rubbing shoulders, you know, with non-Jews. It's definitely a mokim sakana. There are issues. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about it, about in not doing partnerships with a guy, all kinds of different boundaries. But again, one of the best forms of insurance is a person really making serious effort to attach oneself to Torah, to Tefillah, and to Tzaddikim, to real Tzaddikim.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions, please?
Interesting, the idea, even what we said before, the idea of Taya, which is totally, we said, is totally out. Now that we do see that, let's say, Taya is used to fertilize and to, we do take that. I was maybe thinking that over there, you see, it's not from the actual Taya, it's from being Mavata the Taya.
Exactly. A question was just raised that Rav Nosson Zal quoted the Gemara and Likutei Moharan, which compare Avodah Zarah to excrement. And the question was raised, 1 minute, excrement is used as fertilizer. It fertilizes crops. It's a very necessary thing. And the person that asked the question offered a possible answer that that's only after the fertilizer has, after the excrement has been processed, it's been broken down, etc., etc. Again, the more we learn, remember we learned this is one page. Every page is enlightening. Every page does not have all the answers. Each page does not have all the answers. We're going to learn a lot more in this halacha and in the thousands of pages of Likutei Halachos and all the other svarim. It's all filling in pieces of a puzzle. So again, be extremely careful that based on what we learned today, you cannot draw conclusions that, wow, now I'm an authority on the Sitra Achra. Wow, we learned everything. We learned that there's vanilla and chocolate, so I know everything I need to know about the Sitra Achra. There's type A and type B, and now I got my doctorate in the studies of the Sitra Achra. Not yet. We have a lot, seriously. There's a lot to learn about this, and we'll see. We show that even in Haman Amalek, the Gemara says, from the descendants of Amalek, of Haman, came forth rabbis. What are you telling me? Contradiction. The answer is we'll learn a lot more with Hashem's help, and it'll become clearer and clearer. Again, I really apologize. We're going to miss all of you desperately tomorrow and looking forward very much. Those that can, because this is a sheer kavua, because this is a fixed time of the day from 8 to 9 in the morning that we learn every day, if it's possible, try to learn that hour or even part of that hour so we don't let go. We don't let Chas V'Shalom the Eitz Sahara nullify this sheer Chas V'Shalom in any way. Wishing everybody a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos. Everything good.
Thank you, Ali. Good Shabbos.
All the best.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
You too, all of us.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.